Well, today represents the conclusion of our late summer series, Blessed Are, Jesus' Beatitudes. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, it's Labor Day weekend, and of course that represents the end, the official end of the summer season. And I really hate to see this summer go. This has been one of the best summers for me in recent memory. And with Labor Day weekend, we say goodbye formally to summer, and we prepare ourselves that soon, and very soon, no matter your favorite store to shop at, that soon those shelves are going to be filled with you-know-what, stuff for the holidays. Believe it or not, the holidays are just now around the corner. In light of this, the coming of the holidays this week, I read about a delightful New Year's Day custom out of Scotland. And the custom is actually called first footing it. And here's the idea. On New Year's Day, you seek to be the first person to cross the threshold of a family member's house. You're the first footer who seeks to get to the door first of a friend in order to be there to wish them a happy new year and toast their happiness and health for a new year. What a wonderful tradition. People actually racing to outdo each other in blessing one another. Well, I'd like to build on this Scottish practice, New Year Day practice, called first footing, by proposing that we begin in our faith community maybe the Holy Order of First Steppers. Or we may call it the Happy Fellowship of Peace Initiators, First Steppers. The only qualification necessary for membership in this order is a willingness to be the person who takes the first step. We all like to try something new from time to time. We all like, to some degree, a sense of change, doing something for the first time. And now we have the opportunity. We can become first step peacemakers. As first step peacemakers, we honestly and earnestly look for ruptured relationships that are in need of repair, and we are leaders who take the first step in initiating the peace negotiation. We are the ones that take the first step in mending broken fences. The motto for our new holy order in this place, the new motto for brave souls who are willing to engage in this crucial work, is Jesus' seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be known as the children of God. Adding to the richness of this high call of Jesus, this, the seventh of the eight Beatitudes, hear this, Matthew 5:9 in some other translations. This from the New English Bible. How blessed are the peacemakers. God shall call them his sons and daughters. J.B. Phillips sheds additional light on the seventh beatitude with his translation. Happy are those who make peace, for they will be known as God's very children. Lloyd Ogilvie, the late Lloyd Ogilvie, a senior pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church and chaplain of the U.S. Senate. I love his translation. Happy are the initiative enablers of peace with God, peace with themselves, and peace with others. For they are kin of God in the healing of the world's deep wounds. And the Scottish pastor and theologian William Barclay, he interprets Matthew 5:9 this way, or translates it this way. Blessed are those who produce right relationships in every sphere of life, for they are doing a godlike work. Barclay, I believe, hits the the nail on the head by connecting peace and the work of peace with God. There are two things that we need to understand as we come to worship the triune God this morning. First is part of God's character. God is a God of peace. And then secondly, something we need to know about this God. God is always the initiator. The initiator not only of peace, but the initiator of salvation, the initiator of beauty. Anything that is glorious and praiseworthy in the world, God is the one who takes the first step. Scripture attests, first, to God being a God of peace, and Scripture clearly attests to God's heart, God's agenda for peace in his church and in the world. For example, when the prophet Isaiah was able to see the future, when he saw the coming of our Messiah, this is how he described the child. And with the holidays just around the corner, we will hear Isaiah's prophecy again sometime during the Advent and Christmas season. Isaiah said this, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of..." In the New Testament, scroll after scroll, chapter after chapter, we find the fingerprints of God self-revealing as the God of peace. Let me just share with you just a few passages written by the Apostle Paul to some of the congregations he shepherded. "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." I trust that there is somebody here today that needed to hear that. The Lord of peace grant you peace in every circumstance. He wrote to the Corinthian church, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." And again, Paul says, "The God of peace will be with you." Triune God is a God of peace. And when it comes to bringing peace, God is always the first stepper. God is the one who takes the initiative, not only in peace, but in salvation, in beauty, all things praiseworthy. God is the one who initiates. We need to look no further than the first pages of our scripture, the story of creation, Genesis chapter 1. God speaks and creates the heavens and the earth. God speaks and on day 6 creates male and female in God's own likeness. You know the story. And when it comes to the work of salvation and peace being part of our salvation, peace with God, God is the one who clearly took the first step toward his wayward children. He sent Christ to take upon himself the consequences which come from our sin. The God of heaven reached toward this world, reached toward us in order to establish eternal peace. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 articulates it this way. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." The God we have come to worship is not passive. The God that we have come to encounter, to taste, to touch, to hear, does not sit back and idly allow fires of anger, resentment, and judgment to burn. God takes the initiative. God moves. He is the ultimate first stepper to address all matters of relationship with his children and among his children. This reality that God is the initiator in all things good, salvation and peace, really came alive for me as in my early 20s. At the end of college, I was searching for a theological home. I was looking for a place to land. I came across a biography of John Wesley, and I was enamored by Wesley's holding together personal holiness and social holiness. That was a new idea for me. And after college, graduating, got my first job in Cincinnati, I began attending a United Methodist church, and I absolutely loved it. But there was one matter that I had a hard time wrapping my mind around, and that was actually the issue of infant baptism. And it was becoming a deal breaker for me. Because I grew up Baptist, and we had a very ordered way that one was to experience baptism. Either an older child or a teenager or adult, they would accept Christ, they would profess their faith, and they would be baptized by immersion. That's all I knew. And I was puzzled. I knew that the larger church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, most mainline Protestants practiced infant baptism, but I still wondered, is that the way one is to be baptized? So I took my concerns to my pastor, and I sat down with my pastor for a conversation, and in many ways, Greg Stover is still my pastor today. And I'll never forget what he shared, as I shared with him my enthusiasm for Wesleyanism, my enthusiasm about the doctrine and the polity of the United Methodist Church. We are connectional. We are not an island unto ourselves. We're connected to one another. But then I shared my issue of infant baptism. And he said, at the time, I had a girlfriend. And he said, Doug, I understand you have a girlfriend? I said, yeah. He said, who initiated the first date? Who picked up the phone? And in those days, phones were still on walls. Who picked up the phone to ask the other person out? Well, I said, well, Pastor, I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy, so I was the one who picked up the phone to ask for the date. He said, how did that feel? I said, it was exciting and terrifying all at the same moment, because I didn't know. He said, why? Because I didn't know if she was going to say yes or no. He said, that's it. Hold on to that. You are the one who took the first step. You are the one who initiated. You're the one who took all the risk at that moment of rejection. Now, in a much greater sense than you asking a girl out. That's what God does in relationship with us. God takes the first step. And every time we open the baptismal font, every time we baptize, not only an infant, but a teenager or a child or an adult, we are remembering that God is the initiator, the one who takes the first step. And especially in the baptism of an infant, before this child can recite the Lord's Prayer, before this child can receive Holy Communion, profess his faith or her faith in Jesus Christ, before they can offer any meaningful and sacrificial service to God, God is reaching out to take the risk, saying, I want you, I want all of you now and forever. Well, that afternoon, in the pastoral study of Sharonville United Methodist Church, I was at peace, such peace, to not only become a United Methodist, but more than that, to join the Wesleyan movement, which seeks to spread scriptural holiness across the land. God is a God of peace. And God is the God who always takes the first step to heal, to save, and to reconcile. These are our eternal truths. And now, if we desire to live as a child of this God, if you and I desire to be like our eternal parent, God, our Father, the quest for peace and a willingness to step first toward the other, step first even towards our enemy, to make peace. This now needs to become a priority in our life, a priority for our discipleship. First steppers in the work of peace, they will be seen by God and others as beloved children. But I know we're still balking at this difficult part of discipleship, taking a first step to make peace. And we might try to let ourselves off the hook with Beatitude 7 this way. Well, you know, when you consider all the conflict in the world today, missile tests on the Korean Peninsula, threats uttered in the Middle East, our own national American body politic, so deeply divided and so dysfunctional, even now our larger denominational family reflecting that same polarization and gridlock, we might think to ourselves, you know, Beatitude 7, this is for diplomats, this is for former presidents. I just don't have enough influence. How can I be an instrument of peace? Not so fast. Remember who Jesus delivered this first sermon to. He delivered it on that mount before a group of Galilean peasants, potential disciples at that point, who have a lot less influence, a lot less juice and connections than the disciples who are hearing Jesus' words in this sanctuary. I love what the Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa says. Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. Christ, on the sermon, in his Sermon on the Mount, was not talking to the Emperor of Rome. Christ was not talking to King Herod. Christ, as he preached that first Sermon on the Mount, was not talking to movers and shakers. He was our rabbi, our Messiah, was talking to everyday people and talking about making peace in our everyday relationships. And more than that, Jesus just doesn't throw out this high-minded motto, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be children of God." Our rabbi, our Messiah, later in Matthew, gives us bread and butter instructions on how we make peace in all of our relationships. I remember a parishioner in my last congregation, let's call him Frank. He called for an appointment one day, sat down with Frank, and he began the conversation this way. He said, "Doug, you have to promise me that what I'm going to share with you remains confidential." I said, "Of course, Frank. You mean you're talking to a pastor here? You know, the vault door is thick, believe me." He then said something curious. He said, "You also need to promise me this, because I'm going to tell you something about someone. You need to promise that the next time you see this person, you're not going to act in a way that shows that you know about their issue." That was a first for me. I said, "Well, let me give you this caveat. If you're going to share something I have to legally share, then no, I'm not going to hold your confidence. But okay, I will do my best next time I see this person to act in such a way that I don't know their issue." Well, Frank said, "Great. And Doug, here's the issue. You're the issue with Steve." Steve was another parishioner and in Frank's small group. "Steve has been simmering mad at you for a couple months. I just want to let you know that, and, you know, it's now off my chest. It's now with you." I promised I couldn't say anything about this, and I promised to put on my best Oscar performance, and when I saw Steve, pretend that he was not mad at me. I said, "Frank, I'm going to keep my promise. I now regret giving that promise, but I'm going to ask you to do this." I reached for my Bible, and I turned to Matthew chapter 18. This is Jesus' bread and butter teaching on how we deal with relational difficulties, how we make peace. And I read it to him. This is Jesus, not me. Take it up with him. "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, Take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I said, Frank, next time you're in small group, will you maybe study this passage, or will you share this with Steve? And he said he would. And Frank, he was a man of his word. He did share it with Steve. And a week later, Steve and I were reconciled. We saw and experienced peace blossom before our own eyes. Friends, there is way too much energy wasted in our marriages. There are too much energy wasted in families, in companies, in schools, and churches, believe me, churches, because we refuse to take seriously Beatitude 7, because we refuse to take the difficult step of being a first stepper to initiate peace. It's so much easier to be a sidestepper, to talk about the person we're upset with to everyone else but that person. But brothers and sisters, this is a new day, an opportunity for new growth and obedience. You want to cooperate with God's transforming grace in your life, making you more into the likeness of the Prince of Peace? You want to commit to taking Jesus and his clear teachings about peace seriously? You want to be known as one of God's own beloved children? Take the risk then. Pick up the phone. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, know that not only will the person you have an issue with will see it your way and acquiesce in a way that you hope. No, pray deeper than that. Pray that as you take the first step to initiate peace, you may experience the happiness which comes when we act in the same manner as God has acted with us. God, who went to incomprehensible lengths in Jesus Christ in order to make eternal peace with you, with me, and with this, the world God so dearly loves. Thanks be to God.